Today is June 15th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the Genius Act's 12-month licensing window and what it means for bank deposit franchises, the May bankruptcy spike that's quietly setting up a loan loss reckoning, and why a Christopher Waller rate cut, however unlikely it looks right now, could recreate the interest rate risk dynamics that took down Silicon Valley Bank. Let's start with the legislation that just changed the competitive geometry of the U.S. payment system. The Genius Act, Guiding and Establishing National Innovation for U.S. Stablecoins, cleared the U.S. Senate in May 2025. At its core, the law mandates one-to-one reserve backing in U.S. dollars, or short-dated treasury securities for any payment stablecoin issuer, requires monthly public reserve attestations, and prohibits algorithmic stablecoins entirely. Institutions seeking issuance authority have 12 months from enactment to file applications. Existing issuers like Tether and Circle get an 18-month transition window. Now here's the competitive threat that should be on every bank deposit strategist's radar. The law effectively enables treasury collateralized digital dollar instruments that yield 4-5% against checking accounts that most banks are still paying 0.1-0.5% on. That spread is not a rounding error. It is an existential pressure on the low-cost deposit franchise that has underpinned bank net interest margins for decades. The estimated revenue at stake in annual bank partnership fees sits somewhere between $15 and $30 billion. And the Clarity Act, advancing in parallel through Congress, would extend this framework to corporate issuers, meaning JP Morgan, Apple, and Walmart could each become stablecoin issuers backed by treasury collateral. Consider the scale. Tether alone currently holds more than $100 billion in U.S. treasuries, backing its stablecoin circulation, making it a larger treasury holder than most sovereign nations. If Fortune 500 corporations enter this space at scale, the structural treasury demand could reach $2 to $5 trillion annually. That is a fundamental reshaping of both the deposit system and the treasury market. For compliance cost benchmarking, Tier 1 bank entry is estimated at $25 to $75 million. Mid-tier bank limited programs run $5 to $20 million. Those are entry costs, not ongoing operating costs. And they arrive at precisely the moment when credit cycle pressure is tightening discretionary budgets. The broader fintech pattern here intersects directly with a credit deterioration dynamic that the macro data is now flashing in plain sight. S&P Global recorded 73 corporate bankruptcies in May 2025. That number matters not just as a current reading, but as a leading indicator. Historical precedent from the 2000 through 2001 and 2007 through 2008 cycles is unambiguous. Bank loan loss recognition typically lags bankruptcy filings by 2 to 3 quarters. Run that math forward and you get materially elevated Q3 through Q4 2025 provisioning requirements for institutions with leveraged lending exposure, particularly those concentrated in transportation, retail, and manufacturing. The underlying margin dynamic is what makes this cycle particularly treacherous for credit underwriters. PPI Trade Services contracted 1.1% in a single month, the sharpest margin compression in 9 months, while transport input costs surged. What that combination tells you is that corporate borrowers are absorbing cost increases without the pricing power to pass them through to customers. EBITDA is eroding even as top-line revenue holds. Credit teams, still running covenant compliance monitoring on trailing 12-month EBITDA, need to build forward adjustments into their frameworks now, not when the Q3 numbers arrive. Building on that picture at the consumer level, credit card delinquency rates are rising toward 2009 peak levels per New York Fed Q4 2024 data, and the personal savings rate has declined to approximately 3.5% against a historical pre-2020 average of 7-8%. The consumer buffer against further income stress is structurally thin. That is not a cyclical soft patch. It is a structural vulnerability in the household sector that limits the shock absorption capacity that typically cushions commercial credit cycles. Looking at the regulatory landscape, mid-sized banks have already absorbed $2 to $8 billion in unrealized securities losses from the 2024 through 2025 rate path uncertainty. That is the cumulative balance sheet damage before any new credit cycle provisioning requirement hits. The institutions entering this period are not entering from a position of strength. Which brings us to the monetary policy wildcard that changes the calculus on all of it. CME Fed Watch pricing as of the June 16th through 17th FOMC meeting assigns only a 3% probability to a rate cut. December 2025 pricing reflects a 50% probability of a rate increase. Consensus institutional fixed income is net short duration. The market has priced Christopher Waller as more hawkish than his predecessor. The contrarian thesis worth stress testing assigns a 25 to 35% probability to Waller cutting rates at or before December 2025. The analytical foundation for that view rests on the divergence between headline inflation readings and alternative measures. The headline PCE registered 3.8% in April 2025. The Dallas Fed trimmed mean PCE for the same period registered 2.3%. Trafflation's real-time tracker was running below 2% annually. A Fed chair who publicly signals preference for trimmed or alternative measures is constructing analytical cover for cuts that headline numbers do not support. Bank asset liability management teams should not just model the data changing, they should model the reaction function changing under new leadership. Here is where the Silicon Valley Bank echo becomes relevant. The bond vigilante scenario, the one that actually matters for banking balance sheets, is not a rate cut scenario that uniformly relieves pressure. It is a scenario where Waller cuts 50 basis points on the short end, while bond markets simultaneously reprice inflation expectations upward, pushing the 10-year Treasury from approximately 4 to 4.2% toward 4.6 to 4.9%. Short rates fall, long rates rise, the yield curve steepens sharply. For liability-sensitive balance sheets, deposit cost relief is real. But for institutions holding more than 15% of assets in held-to-maturity or available-for-sale securities, the AOCI pressure is equally real. A 100-basis-point steepening on a $10 billion securities portfolio translates into approximately $800 million to $1.2 billion in unrealized losses. That is not a tail risk. That is a tractable, modelable scenario that should already be in your IRRBB stress test suite. On the private market side, the funding environment adds a late-cycle overlay to everything we've discussed. Global private market assets under management reached $13.1 trillion in 2024, a 150% increase from $5.2 trillion in 2015. Late-stage rounds of $100 million or more represented 42% of total 2024 deal value. The median time from founding to IPO expanded from 4 years in 2000 to 12 years in 2024, meaning public investors now access companies at mature valuation multiples rather than during exponential growth phases. The IPO pipeline functions as a late-cycle indicator in this context. Combine new equity issuance of $300 to $500 billion entering markets in 2025, including Google's $80 billion secondary offering, SpaceX's $75 billion raise, Oracle's $40 billion raise, and CoreWeave's $3.5 billion follow-on mathematically requires existing position liquidation in the absence of commensurate Federal Reserve balance sheet expansion. M2 money supply growth of 2 to 3% annualized versus 2021's 25% QE-driven expansion does not provide that absorption capacity. Sophisticated long-duration holders, including Sequoia, Andreessen Horowitz, and Fidelity, hold space exit cost bases estimated at 10 to 50 times below current private market valuations. Their IPO motivation is partial exit and portfolio rebalancing, not conviction signaling to new buyers. That asymmetry of information should inform how banking capital markets desks structure bridge lending covenants and fee recognition timing. Let me close with the two emerging risk and opportunity frames that deserve board-level attention beyond the immediate cycle. On the risk side, post-quantum cryptography migration. IBM's roadmap targets fault-tolerant quantum computing for 2029 through 2030. Google's Willow chip completed in December 2024, a computation in 5 minutes that would require classical computers 10 septillion years. 100% of digital banking transaction encryption, SWIFT authentication across $150 trillion or more in annual transaction volume, and Visa and MasterCard authorization across 250 billion annual transactions all rely on RSA and elliptic curve cryptography that quantum computing will eventually break. NIST finalized the first post-quantum standards in August 2024. No federal banking mandate yet, but FEAC guidance is expected in 2025 through 2026. State-sponsored actors are already harvesting encrypted financial data for future quantum decryption. Migration cost estimates run $5 to $50 million per major institution. This is a 2025 operational risk, not a 2030 planning exercise. On the opportunity side, AI vendor sovereignty as regulatory positioning. The intersection of OCC third-party risk management guidance and Federal Reserve SR23-4 increasingly captures AI model vendors as critical service providers subject to concentration risk examination. The institutions that deploy hybrid AI infrastructure now, combining cloud frontier models for non-sensitive workflows with on-premise open-weight model deployment for data-sensitive operations, capture regulatory positioning ahead of anticipated guidance, cost reduction of 15 to 40% at scale as query volumes grow, and proprietary model fine-tuning on transaction and underwriting data that cloud-native challengers cannot replicate. On-premise local model deployment costs have declined 60 to 70% in 24 months. A production-grade local AI deployment for a mid-sized bank now requires $35,000 to $130,000 in total first-year cost versus $200,000 to $800,000 or more in annual cloud API spend at equivalent query volumes. FinTech thesis update for today. The Genius Act has shifted the stablecoin question from regulatory uncertainty to competitive execution.
The 12-month application window is a forcing function. Institutions that delay the deposit franchise impact assessment are not preserving optionality. They are ceding first-mover positioning. Simultaneously, the May bankruptcy rate and the margin compression data together represent the clearest leading indicator of a credit provisioning cycle since 2019. The institutions that increase loan loss provision guidance by 20 to 35% now, ahead of Q3 recognition, will be characterized as prudent. Those that wait for the numbers to arrive in their own books will be characterized as reactive. And on rates, the Waller transition is not yet priced as a regime change. It should be. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.